760 The Quest, your Atlantic Catholic Radio, presents The Morning Quest, finding joy in the journey. Now, here's Josh and Allison.
Good morning, Greater Atlanta and beyond. This is The Morning Quest, where we help you find joy in the journey. My name is Josh Harris, and I'm joined with...
Dave? Yes. The announcer just said Josh and Allison, but it's Josh and Dave.
Oh.
Allison is off today.
The feminine genius is gone.
Yes.
It's just a bachelor pad up in here. Well, you're married, so not a bachelor pad, but...
it's the guy's, what do they call
man
it?
Man cave.
Man cave, thank
yeah.
you.
Yeah, Man Cave Mondays.
Man Cave Monday. Allison, you got Mondays off for the rest of the
yeah.
time here. Absolutely.
Well, why don't we open this thing up in a prayer and
yes.
Ask God that this ship not... capsize due to lack of a woman's touch. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord's with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
As it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end.
Amen. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
So, one thing that was kind of on my mind is the power of encouragement. You get an encouraging word every now and then, don't you, Dave?
Yeah, it's good, yeah.
Yeah. Well, I was at Christ the King after Mass on Saturday morning, and somebody stopped me on the way out, and they shared how much they liked the show, which was so cool. Yeah, yeah. But you just don't, you don't know. It's not like we are... have an exact number of terrestrial listeners. We don't, we're not coming. We don't have the ratings, but that was so cool. And then the next day at Holy Spirit, a woman came up to me and said how much they like the show, which
cool.
is so cool. Yeah, right?
This show?
This show,
okay.
Yeah.
Just checking.
Yeah, they were lost. No. The Price is Right. That's what, no. Yeah, this show, which is super cool. And, you know, it made me think of something that I heard a pastor say one time. He said, here's my new rule of thumb. If I have something encouraging to say to somebody, I say it, and I say it right there.
Mm-hmm.
I don't sit on it. He said, why would you ever deprive somebody of needed encouragement? I think about what Scripture says, Hebrews 3:13, encourage each other daily so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. How about this? For Proverbs 12:25, anxiety weighs down the heart, but a kind word cheers it up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That, and I think we all need that from time to time, just a little pat on the back.
A little
pep
in the step.
Yeah. Exactly.
And next time you say that you like the show, why don't you slip me $100? Well, give me a tip like you would your waiter, okay, here's another one. I'll kind of close the encouraging segment with this. Is St. John Bosco says this, a word of encouragement during failure is worth more than an hour of praise after success.
Wow.
Yeah. Right? Because especially in comedy.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I've been booed off stage before.
Really?
Yes. I think about three times. Now, 17 years or so doing stand-up, three boos, that's not terrible. I used to perform in some pretty grisly spots, though.
Yeah.
And one time I bombed on TV, and somebody came up to me and said, now, I will say the show before that on TV, I had got a standing ovation. But the next show... it wasn't my night. That's a whole different story. And someone comes up to me and says, hey, man, forget what everybody else is saying. I think you're funny.
That's awesome.
I was like, thanks, Dad. What's everyone else saying? And speaking of comedy, did you work on some comedy this weekend?
I did some writing because we got the Funniest Priest coming up, Atlanta's Funniest Priest coming up in November 12th. And you're going to be emceeing,
uh-huh.
and you'll probably do some comedy as well.
I'll be doing a good chunk of comedy.
And I've done comedy, stand-up comedy before. It's been years probably more than 10 years since I've done it. But I used to do open mic nights and everything. So
you've been paid to do it, though, before.
Yeah, I have.
And give yourself some credit. Dave, he's not going to read you his resume, but he's worked on some major radio shows syndicated.
Mm-hmm.
And you've been writing comedy for radio for a long time.
Yes.
So you have been for a very long time a professional comedy writer.
Right, right.
So that's pretty cool. So anyway,
I'm going to do 5 minutes or so on November 12th. It'll be all the fathers and then a dad.
A dad. Well, you need, you know, we got all the spiritual fathers. We want at least one biological father on stage, you know, representing the scope of vocations, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And as long as we're talking about it, Atlanta's Funniest Priest coming up on the 12th of November. It is sold out. But we've got a list that if more tickets become available, you can get those. But also for next year, if we do it again next year, then
you'll be the first to know.
Exactly.
So you want? I mean, it's a win-win. If you mm-hmm. get on the waiting list, even if you don't get tickets, you will be the first to be notified next year. And mm-hmm. by the way, this thing sold out in a week, so that you're going to want to be on that list regardless.
Absolutely. And we want to thank our sponsors, Catholics Adopt Project, Firepower, and Monica Bosco Coaching. Thank you all.
Go to funnypriest.com. Funnypriest.com. Get your name on the wait list.
Just ahead on The Morning Quest.
Greg and Jennifer Willits, founder of Rosary Army, talk about this amazing apostle and how they are helping people discover freedom in Christ through closeness to his mother. Our memory verse of the week is Philippians 4:6. Have no anxiety at all, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, make your requests known to God. Our buddy Chuck Persner helps us get acquainted with St. Paul of the Cross. Father Eric Hill, pastor of Transfiguration Catholic Church in Marietta, unpacks today's gospel. But next, Brenda Sharman, founder of True Beauty, will be talking about social media. For more information, check them out at truebeautymodel.com.
Lots of sunshine today, a high of 72. It is 42, kind of chilly, but it feels good at 8:07.
AM 1160, The Quest, your Atlanta Catholic radio.
You're listening to
The Morning Quest, finding joy in the journey with Josh and Allison.
We are with Brenda Sharman, founder of TrueBeautyModel.com. This Christ-centered Catholic program is designed to combat harmful influences by helping young women discover their God-given worth, embrace authentic femininity, and live with confidence and dignity. They're doing this, by the way, through engaging workshops, meaningful conversations, and faith-filled encouragement. Amazing to have you here, Brenda.
Thank you. Good morning, Josh and Allison.
Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you for your service. This is so needed.
Mm-hmm. Oh, goodness. Well, it's great to be back. Thank you for allowing me to come and share with your audience what we're talking about at our True Beauty training sessions. And today I'm going to share with you our discussion over social media.
Oh, wow. Mm-hmm. This is going to be interesting.
Mm-hmm. Such a big topic. Yes. As you know, Allison, you have daughters.
Yes.
So during the training session with our girls, we encourage them to create an intentional online brand that reflects virtue, confidence, and authenticity. And we ask the girls, you know, if someone looked at your Instagram, your TikTok, or your Snapchat right now, but they didn't know you personally, what would they think about you? Mm. And what message are you sending?
Hmm.
Would they see a confident, faith-filled young woman who values herself and is outwardly living her faith? Or would they see someone who is striving to be a saint one day?
Mm-hmm.
We live in a world where a single photo can get hundreds of likes, but that same photo can also shape the way people treat you or perceive you and even how you view yourself.
Wow.
Yes.
So we challenge the girls to consider, would they want their future boss to see the photos, their future children, a college admissions officer?
Yeah.
So we want the girls to have a positive online presence by showing photos that reveal their heart and their goodness. Instead of wanting to look hot and sexy, how about wanting to look holy and happy?
Yeah.
So I think social media is fine when you're showing the world who you are and what you love, and that you're revealing what is good, true, and beautiful around you.
Wow. And do you have some tips for how people can post with virtue?
Yes, we do. Actually, I'll be happy to share with you our 5 tips for girls who want to post with purpose and virtue. So number one, remember, you are always branding yourself. Even if you've never thought about your brand before, you already have one. Your posts, captions, stories, comments, likes, they all say something about who you are and what you value. So the big question is, are you choosing what that message is, or are you letting the culture choose it for you? So I would say to the girls, do an Instagram audit. Scroll through your last 9 posts and ask, what would a stranger think I care about? Not pointing others to beauty, truth, joy, or just trying to look hot or popular. And we have to remember that Jesus said clearly, you are the light of the world. Let your light shine before others.
Mm-hmm.
And that's so interesting you're talking about this, Brenda, because how many people go on social media and just post something not realizing that it's going to be there forever,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Yeah, not thinking it through, or not thinking about all the different people who will see it.
And, yes.
And sometimes, you know, maybe girls are at the beach and they're wearing an outfit, but then back home, the people that will see that are just, you know, in their living room one night, and
yes.
they're out of the context of a beach. And so it's kind of shocking.
Yes.
Sometimes when you see photos that are maybe not meant to be seen in all occasions.
Yeah.
So number 2 for our tips is, you don't need to post provocatively to be seen.
Mm.
In a world obsessed with selfies and showing skin to get likes or followers, it takes strength and confidence to dress and post with discretion. And we have to remember that our value isn't based on how many followers we have. It's based on us following our Lord and his commands for our life.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
But the enemy loves it when women trade dignity for attention.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. But I do believe that God is raising up a generation of daughters who are choosing a better path for themselves. And now I love it to see the culture shift with, you know, the Charlie Kirk
yes.
situation and Erica Kirk stepping mm-hmm. up and people recognizing, you know, saying she was made for such a time as this. And,
yes.
and we want to encourage that same attitude with these young models of true beauty.
Yeah.
And scripture says charm is deceptive and beauty is fleeting, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. So we also have to remember to post with purpose, not pressure. And our social media doesn't have to be perfect, but it should be intentional. And every post is a little message to the world. So use that space to reflect what truly matters to you. So a few ideas for posting purposefully would be to post pictures that celebrate friendships, faith, family, mm-hmm. fun vacations, mm-hmm. share about your passions, weekend activities, music, art, sports, charitable causes. Encourage others with scripture or a positive quote. Or you can document service to others with joy, laughter, your unique personality. And girls don't owe the world their face every day. Our worth is not in our followers, it's in our faith.
Yes, and our relationships with others, quality relationships.
That's right. So number 4 is digital dignity equals real confidence. A lot of people post revealing photos because they want validation. But the confidence that comes from being fully known and loved by God is way deeper than any compliment that they can receive online.
Mm.
And the psalm says, the king is enthralled by your beauty. Honor him, for he is your Lord. So you don't need to advertise yourself. You are already chosen, beloved, and enough. So we want the girls to let their confidence come from that truth, not the algorithm mm-hmm. on their social media. And number 5 is, we hope that the girls will want to be a light on social media.
Mm-hmm.
And social media is powerful. It can either tear others down or lift them up, and we get to choose. So we hope that the girls use their platform to spread joy, not jealousy, and that they uplift and celebrate others and don't compare and compete with others.
Yeah, and I mean, for engagement, do you have some suggestions as well there?
Yeah, I think if girls focus on commenting kind things on their friends' posts, especially if someone knows that another girl is struggling,
mm-hmm.
they can share their testimony or their favorite faith quote.
Mm.
And sometimes we'll see conversations happening and we don't have to always chime in.
Gosh,
You know, we don't have to give our opinion on everything. You can just keep scrolling.
How many relationships, you know, just nightmares have I seen start on social media because somebody just like had to emphatically share some political position.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And it's like, well, here comes the time bomb, you know?
Yeah.
And you just see the comment. If you want to get really mad, you just read the comments. It's like, it's just crazy. So, but on the contrary, I mean, I remember one time I posted a video on my comedy channel on Facebook, and it actually got over a million views. Actually, ended up getting over 11 million views as a comedy sketch.
Wow, for you.
And so I was wondering, how do I leverage this for God's kingdom? This was a while ago. And so I actually ended up putting my testimony underneath it.
Excellent.
And I was like, all right, I'm getting, like, hopefully this gets some traction from the popularity of the previous video. Yeah. So I think it's God opens doors to leverage gifts, talents, and opportunities to magnify his goodness.
That's right. Yeah. So when the spotlight gets shined on you, then our call is to turn that around and shine it back to God.
To be the moon.
Right. Yes.
Absolutely. Yes. If we just share that and let other people hear our stories, right?
Yeah. Amen. And if we have gifts and talents and then people look at us or look up to us, then we turn that right back around and we say, no, but really look at God.
Yes.
And he is the giver of these gifts.
These gifts that I am using to share his love. So Brenda, is there a closing challenge for all those ladies out there, especially our youth?
Yes. So every time we post, we should ask ourselves, does this glorify God? Does this reflect my dignity? Is this something I'd be proud of in 10 years? Mm. So I just say, we want to be girls who don't just follow the culture. We lead with grace. Let's be girls who don't need to be provocative to get attention. Let's be girls who create an intentional online brand and one that reflects Christ in us. Because at the end of the day, the best brand we can ever build is one that shows that we are beloved daughters of the King.
Amen.
Beautiful.
And where can people go to learn more about this heroic apostolate?
Info@truebeautymodel.com.
And there's a website, truebeautymodel.com.
That's correct. And a really great Instagram page that the models are running and posting on at True Beauty Model.
Fantastic. Thank you so much, Brenda Sharman, founder of True Beauty Model, for all the incredible seeds you're planting.
Thank you so much, Josh and Allison. God bless you.
Still to come on The Morning Quest.
Greg and Jennifer Willits, founders of RosaryArmy.com, talk about this amazing apostolate, how they're helping people discover freedom in Christ through closeness to his mother. Our buddy Chuck Persner helps get acquainted with St. Paul of the Cross. But next, Father Eric Hill, pastor of Transfiguration Catholic Church in Marietta, unpacks today's gospel reading.
If you would like to connect with The Morning Quest, you can do that. We've got an email address.
Yeah. We have a Catholic Match profile as well.
Right? We do. Yeah, we can connect just through email.
Okay,
here.
We'll do that.
It's The Morning Quest at thequestatlanta.com.
Yeah.
The Morning Quest at thequestatlanta.com. And we'll check it every now and then and maybe read your comment on the air. Who knows?
Yeah.
Finding joy in the journey. This is The Morning Quest.
We are joined by Father Eric Hill, pastor of Transfiguration Catholic Church in Marietta, unpacking today's gospel reading. How are you, Father?
Good morning. How are you?
We are blessed and so grateful.
Highly favored.
Highly favored. There you go.
Blessed and highly favored.
Amen.
I love it.
Yeah, we're about to be more favored with your brilliant insights into today's gospel.
Oh, the bar has been set high now.
You can do it.
Well, let's pray in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Holy Father, as we discern your word and hear it proclaimed this day in the gospel, may our hearts truly be transformed so as to be generous and loving and caring for those in need. We ask this through Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Amen.
So the gospel's from Luke today. We begin, someone in the crowd said to Jesus, "Teacher, tell my brother to share the inheritance with me." He replied to him, "Friend, who appointed me as your judge and arbiter?" Then he said to the crowd, "Take care to guard against all greed. For though one may be rich, one's life does not consist of possessions." Then he told a parable. There was a rich man whose land produced a bountiful harvest. He asked himself, "What shall I do? For I do not have space to store my harvest." And he said, "This is what I shall do. I shall tear down my barns and build larger ones. There I shall store all my grain and other goods. And I shall say to myself, 'Now, as for you, you have so many good things stored up for many years. Rest, eat, drink, and be merry.' But God said to him, 'You fool, this night your life will be demanded of you, and the things you have prepared, to whom will they belong?' Thus it will be for the one who stores up treasure for himself, but is not rich in what matters to God." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
So I think it's important. One of the things I did in seminary during one of the summers I was in summer school there, I worked in the cemetery. So I was cutting grass and finishing out graves and burying people. And one of the things I noticed that when the funeral procession came to the cemetery, that there was no Brinks truck behind it.
No U-Haul.
No U-Haul. No safes being dropped in the grave with the deceased. Just the casket. And obviously, as a priest, I buried a lot of people in the same thing. It's we don't take it with us.
Yeah.
And I think we need to make sure one of the things that some people would look at this gospel and say, well, if you're rich, then you're a bad person. And there's other gospels that talks about the rich. It's not accumulating wealth. It's a matter of what we do with it. It's what we do with what God has given us in our wealth, whether it be in stuff or in finances. We have to be very careful that we have to be generous. We have to be willing to share what God has given to us with those in need. And that's why I'm a firm believer in tithing. I truly believe that sitting down and looking at a percentage gift in giving and sharing is really, really important in our lives. I think one of the things when the basket passes on Sunday, the joke is how large a $20 bill looks in the church and how small it looks at Walmart. and people, the basket passes and we're scrambling to get change perhaps out of the basket as we put the $20 bill in.
MARTA card. You're okay with someone puts in MARTA cards, right, Father?
Oh, yeah. Well, not in Marietta. then I have to bust them. I have to get them to the MARTA station. It's just important that how we look at what we have and how we are called to share it.
Yeah.
And I think this gospel challenges that very idea that we just kind of build up wealth, we're accumulating all these things and being able to be generous in sharing what God has given to us. That's hard because most of us are very concerned about our future. And I think that's what this guy was saying, in the gospel. He's like, well, I gotta prepare for the future. I gotta store this stuff up for later so I don't have to worry about it. And we don't know when the time comes.
And that's one thing, Father, that when I read this gospel and I think about, I've got a 401k. I've got a retirement savings and everything. But then I guess there's a difference between, I need to survive. I need to live once I retire, but how much is too much? Where's that line,
Yeah. And I think that's obviously as people accumulate wealth and for the future, again, that 401k, that Roth IRA, whatever it might be, savings in general is a good thing because then we can get, I've dealt with many people who don't do that and get to the end of their life and they're like, I don't have enough to live, and I'm really struggling. So I think there's a balance, right? There's a balance in what our focus is, right? What our priorities are, and if it's all about accumulating wealth, then we have to really question ourselves what is really important in our lives.
Yeah, Father, you bring up a great point as well. Like Dave too, I was in a retreat one time, and I heard this gentleman speaking. And he said, my wife and I have done something that has radically enhanced our marriage. We have a deal, if we bring in above a certain amount of money, no matter how much it is, we give it all away. I thought, oh my goodness.
Wow.
Wow. I don't know what that number was. It might have been high, but still, I thought that was very challenging I was impressed when I heard them say that.
Yeah.
Well, and it's interesting. I've dealt with people who make $2,000 a month and people who make $100,000 a year or more. And I've dealt with people who make those six-figure amounts and higher, and they struggle with paying their bills. And I'm going, wait a minute. There's got to be a problem here.
Yeah.
And I think that the people that had made in past years had made those $2,000 a month, had everything that they needed.
Yeah.
And I think it's how we look at what we have. And even though we are striving to save for retirement or put away or being able to look at how we provide for our future, there's still an understanding of how we are called to be generous now. And I think sometimes people look at their accumulated wealth and go, well, I'm going to give it all away at the end, or I'm going to, well, give it away now. Enjoy the experience of saying, I'm doing these things now for these people or this situation or whatever. One of the things, one of my friends, several friends of mine actually, with their kids, they don't want to give them a bunch of money in their well and their death. They want to do that now. So they take their kids on trips. They gift that money now so that they can see how their kids and their grandkids are going to enjoy it. Versus, you know, looking down from heaven and seeing those moments in their death.
Wow. Well said, Father. And what a call to action for us to, you know, not sleep on generosity, but give God our yes, our time, talent, and treasure now in the way that he's called us to. And a great way, I think, to discern what that next step is would be to talk to your pastor, like Father Eric or your spiritual director, you know, and cultivate that plan for generosity. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Thank you so much, Father Eric Hill from Transfiguration Catholic Church in Marietta for another fantastic gospel reflection.
All right. Blessings to you all.
I love this story, by the way. Before a joyful crowd in St. Peter's Square, Pope Leo XIV canonized 7 new saints on Sunday.
Yeah.
Isn't that cool? And you just, I think, really, please, 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 if you're listening to this, make it a bucket list to go see a canonization one day. I saw one about a month and a half ago, It was just life-changing. So, by the way, the first ever saint from Papua New Guinea, Saint Peter Turat, was martyred for defending Christian marriage. From Venezuela, Saint Jose Gregorio Hernandez, known as the Doctor of the Poor, and Saint Maria del Carmen Rendiez, a sister born without her left arm, who founded the Servants of Jesus. Also raised to the altars were Saint Ignatius Maloyan, the Armenian archbishop killed during the genocide, the Italian's Saint Barto Longo, once a Satanist, by the way, a satanic priest who became the Apostle of the Rosary. How cool is that? And Saint Vincenza Maria Poloni, foundress of the Sisters of Mercy of Verona. And Saint Maria Trancati, a missionary among Ecuador's indigenous people.
Wow, so cool.
Yeah.
I would, and I'm going to, it is on my bucket list to go see canonization.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Maybe you should be
later.
Maybe you know, you can get that bucket list taken off, Dave, if you get canonized, okay?
I'll do that.
Yeah.
I'm working on it.
That's the best way to go. Well, closing us out, we have Jennifer and Greg Willits, founder of Rosary Army, discussing this amazing apostolate and how they are helping people discover freedom in Christ through closeness to his mother. But next, our buddy Chick Persner helps us get acquainted with St. Paul of the Cross.
AM 1160, The Quest, your Atlanta Catholic Radio. This is The Morning Quest.
Finding joy in the journey
with Josh and Allison. Mondays, Get Acquainted with the Sainted is sponsored by Versprite.
It is 8:34.
Chuck, welcome back.
Thank you, Allison. It's good to be with both of you.
We're so glad you're here.
Speak for yourself, Chuck.
Yeah, I know.
No, I'm just kidding. You make this studio so much better. You do, man. Gosh, I mean, every day I'm just basking in the awesomeness and the holiness of these riveting individuals you bring into our studio. I'm living vicariously through these guys. Thank you.
I do too sometimes. I really enjoy putting myself in their shoes and going back to the time frames where they lived, just what they went through.
Well, and it's beautiful. They're prayer partners. That's what's so amazing. Learning about them so we can understand them and relate, and we can call on their intercession.
Yeah. And, you know, to that point, I oftentimes go to the Catholic.org website, I think it is. Mm-hmm. And I look up all the saints that are being celebrated that day. Because today there's probably 15 to 17 saints, and I ask for their intercession, and some of them are so hardly well known at all.
Wow.
I feel like I almost have a private audience with them.
Yes. You know,
because who's seeking their intercession
really
today?
Cool.
So, in fact, when I finish up my daily rosary, I do my litany of saints, and I call upon every saint, because I believe their intercession is particularly powerful on their feast
days. Are there some days where there's 50 of them?
I think the most I've ever seen was in the high 30s. Yeah, it can get up there.
But aren't there over 10,000 saints?
There are. So, you know, start to do the math on that, divide by 365. But I was told there would be no math.
Okay.
So I'll stop right there.
But guess what? Feast of All Saints coming up.
That is. And just, yeah. So, you know, today I thought we would talk about a saint who may very well have the coolest nickname of all the members of the Communion of Saints. I think he's maybe in competition with Saint Kateri, the Lily of the Mohawks.
Mm-hmm.
But today we have Saint Paul of the Cross, who is known as The Soul Hunter.
Oh, I like
that. Yeah. Like I was saying before we came on the air, I've always had a particular devotion to and fondness for the saints who were letter writers. Three of my favorites, for that matter. Mm. The first one would be St. Catherine of Siena, mm-hmm. who, in fact, her letters are still in circulation. I think about 332 of them are still out there. You could read them. So you could read the spiritual advice that she would give to her spiritual children, for lack of a better term. There was St. Valentine, the early bishop and martyr, ultimately executed for marrying couples when that was illegal. Mm-hmm. He would stay in contact with his couples, and he would sign his letters, Your Valentine.
Wow.
And that's where we get Valentine's Day
cards.
That's
amazing.
You know that,
Josh. I did not know that, mister. Yeah.
And then, of course, that brings us to our saint today. And I have with me, of course, visual props are never great for radio. But you two can see it. My Lenten journey, I go on the same journey with St. Paul of the Cross every year during Lent.
Wow.
Portions of his letters are included in this book.
Nice.
And it was written by Father Victor Hoagland, who just does a tremendous job with this book. He breaks down the daily readings and then finds a portion of a letter that St. Paul of the Cross wrote to one of his spiritual children. Born in the year 1694 near Turin, Italy. This was particularly tragic. He was the second of 16 children, and only six of those 16 children survived.
Wow.
Born to a devout family. Mm-hmm. Obviously, they had faith in the Lord and continued to give birth with the hopes that their children, you know, would live. And, of course, they bore tremendous fruit with St. Paul and his siblings.
Yes.
But as a young boy, he went to daily Mass. Spent a lot of time before the Blessed Sacrament, you know, which wasn't as popular as it is today. Eucharistic adoration is available mm-hmm. at every parish, but that was not as popular in the late 1600s.
Would they have even had a monstrance back then, or would this just been adoration in front of the tabernacle?
Yeah, that's a good question. It probably was just in front of the tabernacle.
I would think so, but I could be wrong.
You just gave me a homework assignment. I now need to know, when was the monstrance invented?
Yes, that's a great question.
Yeah, whoever did that, he needs to be canonized, mm-hmm. or she.
They really should. Paul of the Cross had really his life conversion right around the age of 20, though. He heard a sermon by a parish pastor, and this is really where his spiritual life kicks into gear. And I think this is, as you read a lot about him, this is where you can tell he was on the verge of deciding. He was about ready to give his life to God. So underwent a very deep and thorough confession. He became profoundly aware of his sin. Asked the priest, you know, what do I do to be unattached from this sinfulness? Mm-hmm. And he always had a deep love for the passion of Jesus Christ. And in fact, went on to form the Passionist Priest. And this is an order which is specifically focused on the passion and death of Jesus.
Oh, wow. Really so important. I didn't know that. Wow.
Yeah.
He starts the Congregation of the Passionists, and they dedicate their mission to the meditation on the Passion of Christ, hence the name, Passionist. Yep. They live simply, wearing black robes, adored with the emblem of the Passion, and devoted their lives to solitude, penance, and preaching. So these guys, very penitential, man, emphasizing prayer, fasting, contemplation, and believing that this was essential to that deep union with Jesus.
I mean, so devoted was St. Paul of the Cross to the Passion of Jesus, it was said that his heart pulsated faster on Fridays.
Oh, my goodness.
Which is, of course, the day of our Lord's crucifixion. Yeah.
Well, and
I have... To your point, Josh, this was the niche that they had carved out for themselves.
Wow. I've got a quote here from St. Paul of the Cross. Entrust yourself entirely to God. He is a father and most loving father at that, who would rather let heaven and earth collapse than abandon anyone who trusted in him.
Important words.
This is a good one to really ponder. The cross is the way to paradise, but only when it is borne willingly. So are we going through life carrying our crosses, complaining about them?
Yeah.
Or are we like, okay, Lord, this cross is here. Let it glorify you. Let it purify me as I walk through it to grow closer to you. Mm. Good question to ask.
You know, I heard this, a deacon told me this joke, a bunch of different people are up in heaven in front of the Lord. There's just a huge graveyard almost of crosses. He says, okay, you can pick out whichever cross you want to walk. And he says, you know, the Jesuit priest goes up and grabs the cross and said, this one feels good. Okay, good choice. Diocesan priest goes up, gets a even heavier cross, picks it up, says, you know, this feels good. Okay, Lord goes, good choice. You take that one. Then a Dominican priest goes up, takes the largest cross ever, tries to lift it up, and the Lord says, you can't take that one. That's for married people. A married man told me that joke, so I can say it.
Well, marriage, it's not easy.
Deacon.
But yeah, you pray together, you go through the challenges together, and you
suffer together, right? Suffering has worth. I don't think the whole world understands that yet, and it's our job to be soul hunters. as St. Paul of the Cross was, and to explain this to people, because everyone wants to know, why am I dealing with this? And especially if you have the reputation at work as being perhaps the person who goes to Mass.
Yeah.
You're the holy roller of the group, so to speak. You got to have these answers ready for our brothers and sisters who are going through the tough times.
Amen. Because they need to hear it, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Amen.
Absolutely. Well, thank you so much, Chuck. By the way, interesting, he was canonized in 1867 by Pope Pius IX. His feast day is celebrated October 19th. Some regions, October 20th, and the Passionists are still alive and cooking today.
Amen. Father Cedric Bazenga is a Passionist.
Wow.
Who's on EWTN, one of my favorites.
Oh, fantastic.
So St. Paul of the Cross, the soul hunter.
Pray for us.
The Morning Quest keeps on rolling on AM 1160 The Quest, your Atlanta Catholic Radio.
It's 8:42, and Dave, is there something we should be knowing?
Well, I didn't know this. Did you know that Atlanta is called the city in a forest?
You know, I don't know if I've heard that, but I've just been in high rises and things, and you look out and you go, wow, this is just
lots of green.
Yeah, lots of green.
Mm-hmm. However, that forest is thinning, no. Like my hair.
Oh, hopefully not that fast.
No, hopefully not. But here's the deal. Atlanta's tree protection rules are over 20 years old because there's rules to protect the trees.
Uh-huh.
So the canopy is dropping. So we had 46.5% in 2018, and now it's under 45% today.
Really?
Yeah, so it's dropping over the years. So they've got a new ordinance being drafted to update the rules. So basically what they're proposing is higher fees to remove trees, stronger replacement requirements, especially for high-value species, and new protections for single-family residential lots. However, some of the tree advocates say that it doesn't go far enough, especially for commercial and multifamily developments. Developers want to delay some of these rules until some zoning ordinances are reformed. And basically, the trees cool the neighborhoods in the summer and define Atlanta's character. Like you were saying, when you look out from the high rise, you know, you see all the trees out there.
It's beautiful. And I hope they keep them up, man. I don't want to look out and just see a concrete jungle, because
exactly.
I lived in Florida two different times, and it is just concrete. There is something about,
like, in the city.
Yeah, I'm thinking of Boca Raton, or even where am I thinking? Oh, Boynton Beach. I mean, don't
the
get me wrong.
Densely populated areas.
The ocean's great, but it's just, Florida's been New Yorked pretty hard.
Yes. So the full ordinance could hit city council soon.
Coming up on the Morning Quest.
Hey, remember that scripture verse of the week? Have no anxiety at all, but in everything, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, make your requests known to God. That's Philippians 4:6. And we are so excited to close out today's show with Greg and Jennifer Willits, founders of RosaryArmy.com, talking about this great apostolate and how they're helping people discover freedom in Christ through closeness to his mother.
The Morning Quest with Josh and Allison.
I am so delighted to have Craig and Jennifer Willits here with us. They are the founders of the Rosary Army, and they are here to talk about their amazing apostolate, which is helping people discover freedom in Christ through closeness to his mother. So welcome to the Morning Quest.
Glad to be here.
We're so happy that you invited us this month.
Woo-hoo! Yeah, and it's such a gift that you guys have people putting their mother on speed dial, right? Praise God. Can you tell us a little bit about your faith journey and what inspired you to start Rosary Army?
Yeah, it's a great story that started back in 2002. I started making rosaries like this after seeing it in a confessional. Walked in, priest had a single decade chaplet. A couple months later, out of nowhere, I remembered it. And I was absolutely obsessed and just had to figure out how to make these things. This was before YouTube, before there was a lot of instructions online.
Yeah.
I went and found the supplies I needed, and I made the ugliest rosary you've ever seen in your life. But I was instantly addicted to making these all twine knotted rosaries and giving them away to whoever I could.
Wow.
And had no idea that, and this happened, by the way, right at the beginning of the year of the rosary that John Paul II declared. And it's changed our lives forever. I can easily say that the rosary has changed our family, our marriage, us individually, and countless millions of other people just because of that one time I went to confession, saw that knotted rosary.
Praise
wow,
God.
Doesn't that just show you the eternal dividends the sacraments play in our lives?
I know everything is orchestrated, right?
Yeah.
Praise the Lord. I know your motto is make them, pray them, and give them away. Can you explain what that looks like in practice and why it's so central to your mission?
Well, Greg, I feel like you need to take this question because you came up with the motto.
Well, I start making these things. It's really easy. Right? It's the whole phrase of if you give a man a fish, he has food for a day. Mm-hmm. If you teach him to fish, he has food for a lifetime. And so we have a lot of people that say, well, we have a retreat coming up or we're going on a mission. Can you guys give us a whole bunch of rosaries? And we say, no, but we'll give you one. And with that, we'll give you instructions to learn how to make them as well as how to pray them.
Yeah.
And the idea is that if you can make them, and you pray it regularly for the people that you're making these for, that you can then give them away far and wide. And so all these years that we've been doing this, we tell people, you start making them and then you go to your parish, you give it to all your family and friends, you give it to your priest, you give it to your fellow parishioners, and then you start leaving them back in the adoration chapel. And when your pastor says, hey, I have enough rosaries from you, will you just hold off a little bit? Then they can start sending those extra rosaries to us. They go into our supply that we send out to other people one at a time.
Oh, wow. That's so cool. And I saw, by the way, on your website, it mentions that Rosary Army has a School of Mary. Can you tell us a little bit about that and how it helps people grow closer to Jesus?
Well, again, this is sort of Greg's baby, but I will be able to articulate why it is an amazing new part of the Rosary Army apostolate.
And by the way, Jennifer, we're married, so anytime I have a baby, it's our baby.
Yeah, this is true. Absolutely.
Valid point. But throughout our journey with the Rosary, and this was over the course of multiple years, we sort of wanted more. We wanted to go deeper in our relationship with Mary. And so that led us quickly to this very old teaching of total consecration to Jesus through Mary, according to St. Louis Marie de Montfort. Okay, and there are other versions of that same idea of consecration, but we really love this really complicated ancient one. It was harder and more intense, and it asked a lot of us. So we thought, okay, but this is like really profound. Like, how can we share this and how can we promote this? And so School of Mary was sort of conceived with that idea in mind, to sort of like make this consecration more widely available by providing video commentary.
Nice.
And fantastic. To sort of, you know, assist people who are taking that same journey and to not feel alone when they have completed the consecration. We thought, well, because after you make the consecration, if you've never done it before, you get all this excitement. You thought, well, now what?
Yes.
So this was an answer to the now what.
So schoolofmary.com is another one of our platforms. Mm-hmm. We have the full consecration prayers with commentary, as Jennifer said, but there's also the full video instructions on how to make the rosaries there.
Yeah.
We have video and audio prayers so that people, if they want to pray the rosary with someone else, they can pray with us there as well. And a lot of other resources on schoolofmary.com.
Oh, my.
So we realized that there's a lot of people who are alone. Mm-hmm. They're home, alone, cut off, no community, but yet they have this desire to want to share a communal experience of a type. So it's like, while I'm not a huge proponent of being online for everything, like that's me, but I understand sometimes that's all people have.
Yes.
And they are searching anyway. They're already going online looking for an answer. So we thought, let's give them something good to discover for this, for the rosary, for total consecration. And it's not everything, but it's a start. It's a little bit of an assist to accompany them. And so we're really grateful to have the resources to be able to put something together for them to discover.
Well, and that's so nice, too. And I can see this for many different age groups. Yeah. I mean, I'm thinking teens, I'm thinking college students, I'm thinking moms, I'm thinking dads. So many different people can do this.
Yep. You know, just the other day, we received a handwritten request from a teenager, right? And sometimes they will write notes to me, like, we'll on our website, we'll say, listen, if you don't have money for postage, like, you really can't help with any shipping, just download this form and we'll send you a rosary completely for free. You just got to pay for the one stamp you need to mail us that request form.
Yeah.
So a teenager says, thank you so much. I wish, you know, I don't have any money to donate right now, but I'm a teenager and this is really helping me in my life.
Wow.
And sometimes they will just go out of their way to say who they are.
Yeah.
And I read all of those notes because I'm the sole processor of all of these
you go.
Like Greg handles mainly the audio video components and more the higher level managerial aspects, but I do the more the distribution of the rosaries themselves, and I handle the physical sides of it. And so I get to see the mail. I get to see what people are saying, and it's a real, these people are real.
Yes.
And I pray for them. That's one thing we do as Rosary Army co-founders is we try to pray for everyone who is like a touch point to the ministry, because they are searching and they are souls and they matter. And so we just want to help everybody as much as we can.
That is so great. Wow. And to see the effects is such, especially at that young of an age. I think it's actually a miracle a teenager wrote you a letter.
Period. I know, seriously. Now, guys, for someone who may not be familiar with the rosary or perhaps hasn't considered praying it before, how would you describe its beauty and power in helping a person grow closer to Christ?
Yeah, that's a great question. And it's one of the easiest ways to meditate on the Gospels every day, right? Mm-hmm. It is basically what I always tell people: when you're praying the prayers of the rosary, treat it like when you're watching a movie and you're hearing the soundtrack. And I use Star Wars as an example, right? If you watch the beginning of Star Wars, it would be really weird if all of a sudden there were just a bunch of yellow words that were up on the screen, but you didn't hear John Williams' amazing score going on.
Yeah.
When you're praying the rosary, the prayers of the rosary, the Hail Marys, the Glory Bees, the Our Fathers, that's John Williams' score. But what should be happening is when you're praying the individual prayers themselves, you're actually seeing the movie. And in this case, it's not people with lightsabers fighting each other, but it's Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
And it's his life, one part at a time. And how is Jesus' life then impacting your life now? And what is Jesus calling you to do? How is Jesus calling you into deeper communion with him and the virtues that we receive by praying the rosary? And so it really is this opportunity for us on a daily basis. You know, we tell people all the time, pray your rosary every day and do whatever it takes to be holy.
Yes.
And if you pray your rosary every day, it makes it easier to do whatever it takes to be holy.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you're striving for holiness, having this daily connection is one of the easiest things. I don't know what to pray. Pray your rosary.
Yes.
I don't know what to tell God. Pray your rosary. It's already laid out for you right there. And it's very easy. And it gives you the opportunity to meditate on the life of Jesus Christ part by part and allow his mother to bring you closer to him.
Amen.
Yeah, it is a saint maker. And speaking of, someone wants to grow in holiness, like you so poetically shared, how can listeners learn more about Rosary Army?
Well, you can just go to rosaryarmy.com. or schoolofmary.com. They both will lead you to the same destination. And there you can decide what you would like to do as a viewer, either whether you're interested in just obtaining a free rosary or simply hearing the prayers, or simply, you know, like you can make a decision on what your interaction is with Rosary Army and then go from there. It's very easy to get a free rosary now. You just simply fill out a couple prompts on the website and it just walks you through that process. And then that'll send an email to me and then I'll get to you as soon as I possibly can.
I love it.
We also have a YouTube channel where people can check out not only video versions of our podcast, you can listen to the audio version of it wherever you get your favorite podcast, but we do a video version of it as well as all of the archive of the countless hours of praying the rosary that we have on our YouTube channel too.
Fantastic.
Wow. Thank you so much, Greg and Jennifer Willits, founders of Rosary Army, for just talking about this beautiful ministry in the month of Mother Mary. So
absolutely,
thank you so much for your time and sharing this beautiful ministry.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
The Morning Quest continues to find joy in the journey on AM 1160, The Quest, your Atlanta Catholic Radio.
I had the chopper going. Can you hear it?
I hear it.
That's me doing my, I can do one-handed claps. That's for people who don't know. And if you put them together, then you, sounds like you're in the chopper.
It's a lot more applause than we deserve.
Exactly.
It's 8:56.
It's our budget. It's our budget-friendly way to kind of have a news chopper. You know,
There we go. We don't have to send anybody up now.
It's there you go.
Huge cost savings.
Yeah.
Well, this is Dave in for Allison, although we just heard Allison. I don't know how that works, but but anyway, no, fall is in the air, definitely. I mean, if I went for a walk this morning, it was in the 40s, like, woo, a little chilly there.
Yeah, well,
it feels good.
I was trying to figure out what to wear this morning. I looked at my phone and said, what's the weather? It said 47 before I even stepped that side. I was like, what is happening?
Yeah, 40s. That's great. But a high of only 72 today. Lots of sunshine, though. But this is the time of year, like, you know, you can go see the fall leaves.
Mm-hmm.
You got to drive north, probably up to, like, the Tennessee, North Carolina border up that way is where they're going to be full right now. But it'll be coming down here eventually.
Remember when you were in like middle school or high school and you saw that beautiful lady you thought might be your soulmate and you say, are you from Tennessee? Because you're the only
Ten I see. Yes.
Well, I like this one. How about this one? This is a healthy Catholic line to, you know, win over the love of your life. Is your name Rosary? Because I think we could spend five decades together.
I haven't heard that one.
There you go.
So, also, there's a pumpkin patch going on at St. Brendan's in Cumming. They've got singing pumpkins. And you can get pictures and all sorts of things. Yeah.
Well, that's fantastic. Be sure to check that out. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
As it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen.
Have a great day.
And may you find joy in the journey.